Good evening. Our text is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Titus is found in the New Testament. It is between 2 Timothy and Philemon. This is the word of your God. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of your Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We pray that as we meditate on your scriptures, that you would use it to encourage us, Lord, to rebuke us, to draw us closer to your Son. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. All of you, clean the kitchen. These are the words that I would hear almost every single night from my mother as we finished dinner and scrambled away. She would say, nope, clean the kitchen. Aaron, it is your job to wash the dishes. It is your job to put those dishes away. Son, stop pretending you have to use the bathroom and sweep the floor. All of you, clean the kitchen. My mother gave us different tasks with one unifying goal, and that was clean the kitchen. Likewise, Paul is giving Timothy different instructions for how God's people are to behave ethically. Paul is saying that the life of an older Christian is going to look much different than the life of a younger Christian. But whether your age or whatever your gender, the Lord is calling you to adorn the doctrine of God, to live in accordance with sound doctrine. Paul is teaching Titus to teach the truth. Paul is telling Titus not to be like the Cretans who were lazy, who were gluttonous, who had empty minds and empty tongues. He's saying, Titus, you are not to be that way. Not only are you not to be that way, you are to teach what accords with sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is nothing short of the gospel. Sound doctrine is God becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is Jesus, active obedience, doing the things that you never could, fulfilling the law in ways that you couldn't hopelessly or hopefully fulfill. Sound doctrine is Jesus on the cross bearing your sins and the punishment that was meant for you. Sound doctrine is Jesus giving you his righteousness, giving you his perfection. Sound doctrine is as Jesus regenerates you, he gives you a new heart. You are growing in sanctification. You are becoming more and more like him and less like your old self. Less and less like the sin you used to partake in. This is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine must lead to ethical behavior. As your heart changes, so too your behavior must change. We are Reformed Presbyterians. We love our doctrine. We love to read books. But if that sound doctrine does not produce holy living, then we run the very real risk of walking a truth-paved path to hell. The same is true for those who may not love doctrine, who may say, all we need is moral behavior. All we need is to be better. If that's you, perhaps you run the risk of walking a rosy, morally behaved, well-behaved path to damnation. You can't have it either way. You must have sound doctrine that must lead to ethical conduct. What does it mean to adorn the doctrine of God? You see, in our passage, it starts with teaching what accords with sound doctrine and adorning that doctrine. So what does that mean? Think of adorning the doctrines of God as you would think of adorning a piece of jewelry, whether it's a necklace or earrings or a wedding ring or a watch. You put those pieces of jewelry on to adorn your natural beauty, to make yourself look good. This is what it means to adorn the doctrines of God, to live in a way that makes the gospel look beautiful. That is what the Lord is calling you to do, is to adorn the doctrine to make the gospel look attractive. He focuses on five different groups that are represented in this room, five different groups that you yourself perhaps find yourself in. He addresses the older men and the older women. He addresses the younger women and the younger men, and he addresses the employee. He starts with the older man because, as Paul sees it, the older man is the natural leader of the family, of the church, and of society. He says this in verse 2. Older men, you are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. He starts with being sober-minded. We often think sober-minded goes hand in hand with not being a drunkard, and of course it does. But he's going beyond that. He's saying, older men, you are to think well. You are to have the mind of Christ as you consider different ideological beliefs, different political beliefs, different theological beliefs. You are to have the mind of Christ. You are to be sober-minded. He's saying you are to be dignified in behavior. You are to have a sound and balanced approach that invites respect from others. You are to be composed when you handle difficult situations. If people were to model their behavior after you, as you are dignified in behavior, if they were to model their behavior after you, it should be as if they are modeling the very behavior of Jesus himself. Be dignified, older men, in your behavior. Be self-controlled. You are not to be a slave to your passions. You are to be in control of your emotions. You are to be in control of your thoughts and of your actions. You are to be sound in the faith. In chapter 1, verse 13, Paul is rebuking the Cretans for not being sound in the faith. He's saying, if you are not sound in the faith, you will be like the Cretans who are empty-headed, and so on. What keeps you from this is being sound in the faith. You are to love the people of God. How is it, older man, that you best love the people of God? You best love the people of God through your holy and godly behavior. That is the best way that you can love God's people. He's calling you to be steadfast, to have endurance, to finish the race. High school students go through 4 years of high school, their freshman year, their sophomore year, their junior year, their senior year. By the time they get to their senior year, they're ready to graduate, as you can imagine. We've all been there. They've been doing very well in their grades. They've got A's and they've got B's, perhaps. And as the day of graduation draws closer and closer, the harder and harder it is for them to continue their assignments. There's 3 weeks left in school. Perhaps they have one or two tests left. And they say, if I don't do my homework, if I don't even pass this test, it's not a big deal because I have an A. And my A might go down to an A minus or a B, but that's good enough. That's okay. This is what they call senioritis. The Lord is calling you, older man, to steadfastness. You don't get to have senioritis. You may say, I have been faithful, I have served the church well, I'm tired, it's time for me, as John Piper might say, to collect seashells. The Lord is saying, no, be steadfast. Continue to serve the church in whatever way you can. And if you're physically incapable, continue to pray. Continue to encourage. Be steadfast. Paul then goes on to address older women. Now you may think, okay, if you've been tracking with what I've been saying, you'll see, okay, this sermon is about holiness. This sermon is about living in accordance with the gospel. The sermon is about adorning the doctrine of God. If that's true, that's what we're all called to. So why then is Paul separating the older men from the older women and the younger women from the younger men? Think of it this way, if you'll pardon the analogy. Think of it as you would think about a lawnmower and a weed whacker. What's the difference between a lawnmower and a weed whacker? Well, nothing functionally. They're both created to cut grass. However, how they operate is completely different. One's bulkier, one's heavier, one's lighter. However, they're both to cut grass. Function's the same, operation is a little bit different. So that's what Paul is getting at between older men and older women. You say, okay, what about older men and younger men? I'm a pastoral intern, so that analogy will have to do. Older women. We're in verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Older women, you are called to be reverent in behavior. Your actions are to be an inner manifestation of your character. The language that Paul is using is priestess-like language. We don't often think of priest or priestess-like language or temple-like language because we're Protestants. All those things have been fulfilled in Christ. But what this means is as a priestess is ready to serve, so you, older women, are to be ready to serve as you are reverent in your behavior. You are not to be slanderers. What is slander but the intentional disrespect of someone's character and someone's person? It's gossip. There's good kinds of gossip and there's bad kinds of gossip. If you even want to think about it this way, slander is not just simply tearing someone down. But perhaps, if you're not careful, slander can be the unintentional act of you talking about someone that you perhaps should not be talking about. That perhaps is no concern of yours. You're sharing a prayer request and someone doesn't know that X's marriage is struggling. Be careful that you don't slander intentionally or unintentionally. He says you're not to be slaves to much wine. And of course, he's saying don't be a drunkard. But these two things go hand in hand, don't they? If you drink, your tongue becomes loose. And as your tongue becomes loose, you potentially can slander. Don't be slaves to alcohol or to wine. One commentator, as he's commentating on this passage, says this. I'm going to finish it and hide behind him, but I'm going to comment on it. So the commentator says this. Talkativeness is the disease of women, and it is increased in their old age. I would say this. Talkativeness is potentially a gift of women that if you're not careful can mutate into a disease that can mutate into slander. If you find yourself someone who is talkative, that gift can be used for God. Now, how can that talkative gift be used for God? Well, as you look at verse 4, you are not only to be reverent in your behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to much wine, but you are to encourage the women of the next generation. You are to encourage the young spouse. You are to encourage the young mother. You are to use your words to lift them up, to point them to Jesus, and to show them better ways of being married and better ways of being a mother. If you think about it this way, it is like you are handing down a cast iron skillet. A cast iron skillet gets better with age. The more that you use it, the more flavor that it retains, the better the next meal is that you cook on it. As you fry up some bacon, and it's got all that bacon grease in there, you take that bacon out. Don't pour the grease out. Put the eggs in there. Then you've got bacon-flavored eggs. Older women, the Lord is calling you to give the younger women your bacon grease. The Lord is calling you to invest in the younger women. Younger women, you are called to love your husbands, to love your children, to have self-control, to be pure, to be kind, to be submissive to your own husband. You may be sitting in this room and say, I am married, but I don't have children. Does this passage apply to me? I'm not married, but I do have children. Does this passage apply to me? I'm not married. I don't have children. Does this passage apply to me? And the passage does apply to you. You too are called to be pure. You too are called to be kind and self-controlled. It applies to you differently than it does to the married woman with children. Primarily, Paul is focusing on the domestic sphere. But don't let that exclude you from being pure and from being self-controlled. The Lord calls you to love your husband. And of course, you may say, of course I should love my husband. I love my husband. This is something that is very, very easy to say after you're newly married, because he's your Prince Charming. But the longer that you're married, the less charming he becomes, and the more like a warty frog he becomes. Now, those warts have always been there. You just haven't seen them. The longer you live with them, the more the sin starts to come out. You're tired. Perhaps you're handling kids all day. Perhaps you do work outside the home. But you come home and you're taking care of your children and you're expecting when he comes home to give you relief. Well, when he comes home, instead of relieving you, he relieves himself and then he takes a nap. Difficult to love. But the Lord is still calling you to love your husband. He's calling you to love your children. And again, children may be very difficult to love because they're loud, they can be annoying, they're selfish. And if you as a younger mom in here are afraid to admit that sometimes it's difficult to love your children, take this passage as an encouragement, because the Lord knows that it's difficult for you sometimes to love your children. He knows. And he's reminding you, he loves you, and as he loves you, he wants you to love them. He's calling you to be self-controlled. There are many aspects of self-control that we could talk about. I want to focus on one, and I want to focus on a positive aspect of this. The Lord is calling you to be self-controlled in your spiritual disciplines. The domestic life can be exhausting. It can be busy. And many times, you may not have time to pray, to read the Word, to journal, to meditate. The only time that you do is at 3 a.m., and even at 3 a.m., you might wake up your younger child. For the husbands, help your wife in this discipline. For the husbands, perhaps when you come home, take the kids, tell her to go to her room or to the car, someplace where she will not be disturbed. Say, spend 10 minutes in the Word. 10 minutes in prayer. Be a husband that's easy to love. He's calling you to be kind and to be pure. It is very difficult raising children. Be kind to them. Be patient with them. He's calling you to work at home. Now, what does working at home mean? Let's be careful to not read this anachronistically. Let's be careful to not put 1960s American culture into the text. That's completely foreign to the text. Perhaps that's an appropriate way for you to apply this passage, but it's not exclusively about this passage. Working at home, think of Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 woman worked at home. She worked in the field. She bought fields. She made silks. She sold them. She was involved in the marketplace. What she was doing, though, was to build up her home. And that's what the Lord is calling you to do, younger women, is to build up your home. Be careful to not let things distract you from building up your home. He's calling you to be submissive to your husband so that the world may not slander you or your husband, or more importantly, the gospel. You are to be submissive to your own husband, not to someone else's husband, to your own husband. And as you are submissive to your husband, you have a unique opportunity of being like Jesus. Think of John 17, the high priestly prayer. This is the night before or of his arrest. And he's praying, Lord, take this cup from me. He's praying that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. But what does he say? He says, not my will, but your will. Jesus submits himself to the Father. And as you submit to your husband, you are being like Jesus. You are mimicking that submissive-like characteristic of Jesus and his humanity. Husbands, be an easy person to be submissive to. Younger men, verses 6, 7, and 8. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. If you notice, there's a transition in verse 7. Paul goes from addressing younger men in general to Titus specifically. I'd like to focus on Titus specifically and then swing back around to the younger men. It's Titus specifically, but perhaps it's to everyone who is in the eldership, who is in church leadership, or for those who desire church leadership. We just had a sermon this morning on the qualifications of an elder and a deacon, and those qualifications are, of course, mimicking Jesus Christ himself. The Lord is calling you, elders, and you who do desire the ministry, to be a model of good works, to be a model of good behavior. You are to show integrity in the things that you teach. You are to show dignity in the way that you behave. You are to have sound speech. You are not to speak crassly. You are not to speak falsely. You are not to speak in an evil way. You are to be sound in your speech. Why? To adorn the doctrine of God. Because having sound speech is a model that accords with sound doctrine. And it keeps the church, you, and your fellow church members from being slandered by outsiders. Now, verse 6, younger men. Likewise, I urge the younger men to be self-controlled. If you're a woman in here and you're paying attention, you might say, hold on, I got two verses, and I got seven different things. The young man gets one verse, he gets one thing, and it's the very same thing that I was given, and that's self-control. What kind of favoritistic, chauvinistic passage is this? And it's not. Because as Paul is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his thumb is on the very pulse that you younger men face and struggle with. And that is self-control. You struggle with self-control. What does it mean, younger man, for you to be self-controlled? Proverbs 25:28 says this. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If you have no self-control, you are opening up yourself to the temptations of the devil, of the culture, and of your own heart. The Lord is calling you to have self-control and to build up walls to protect yourself and to protect others. Young man, you are to be self-controlled in your sexuality. You are to be self-controlled in the images that you look at, in the videos that you watch, in the self-gratification that you partake in. This is not behavior that accords with sound doctrine. This is not adorning the doctrine of God. You are to be self-controlled with your emotions, with how you respond to things. You are not to be given to anger. You are not to be given to yelling and gossip and throwing fits when you don't get your way. You are not to be manipulative of other people. How easy is it for you, young man, to flash a smile and to manipulate people? The Lord is calling you to inspire, not to manipulate for your own selfish ends. Inspire people to pursue the Lord. The Lord is calling you to self-control with your entertainment, with the movies that you watch, the books that you read, the TV that you enjoy, the video games that you play, the hobbies that you partake in. You are to be self-controlled in those things. All those things can glorify God. But if you use those things to usurp the throne of God, they become idols. Be self-controlled in the things that you enjoy. Be self-controlled with your rest. The Lord has created you for rest. You are to sleep when you need sleep, and you are to arise when it's time to arise. You are to be self-controlled with your job, with your workplace. You have ambitions. Ambitions can be from God. But if your ambitions distract you from the responsibilities that God has given you with your family and with your church, be careful that your ambitions do not take you away from the Lord. You are to be self-controlled with your family. You are to be self-controlled with your family. You are to give your all for your wife. You are to give your all for your children. You are to love them. You are to serve them. You are to work hard for them. You are to be exhausted for them. As much as you love your family cannot replace God. You need to lead your family in worship. You need to lead your family in coming to the church. You need to lead your family in holiness. John 2:14 says this, "I write to you, young men, because you are strong, because the word of God abides in you, because you have overcome the evil one. For this to be true of you, you must exercise self-control." Finally, verse 9, "Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God." Perhaps your translation says bondservants or slaves. We understand that this is not slavery that took place here in America. This is more like indentured servitude or an employee-employer relationship. And the Lord is calling you in your workplace to adorn the doctrine of God. Now, how do you do that? Well, you adorn the doctrine of God in your workplace by being submissive to your boss. You adorn the doctrine of God by bringing honor to your company. As an employee, it is your job to fulfill the vision of your boss. What he wants, you work hard to make happen. Of course, within godly standards. He's calling you to be well-pleasing, not to be argumentative, not to fight tooth and nail. You may think your boss is a complete jerk, and he might be. But the Lord is calling you to be well-pleasing. The Lord is calling you to be like Jesus. He's calling you not to pilfer. There are many ways that we can pilfer from our workplace. Whether that's physically stealing property, whether that's cooking the books so our paychecks get a little bit bigger, or even as simple as something as spending too much time on social media. You are not to steal from your place of employment. When we think about workplace and the primary employees, we think two people, Joseph and Eliezer. Joseph served Potiphar well. Joseph worked hard. Joseph worked so hard and he worked so well that Potiphar trusted him with everything. And even when Potiphar's wife threw herself at Joseph, what did Joseph do? He exercised self-control, young men, and he ran. And he realized, I'm not going to pilfer. And of course, there were consequences for his name being tarnished. But ultimately, the Lord brought him up. Think of Eliezer. Eliezer was a servant of Abraham. He was a servant of Abraham from his time being brought out of Ur to when he died. The Lord promised Abraham that he would give him an heir to inherit all of the blessings that God had given Abraham. But the heir didn't come. And Abraham said, am I to give everything that I have to my servant Eliezer? Eliezer, the one who had been faithful. Eliezer, the one who had worked hard. The Lord said, no, it will be your son. And it was his son. Eliezer could have been argumentative. He could have been upset. But he was well-pleasing. Even to the point of finding a spouse for Abraham's son. And this is what you are called to in your workplace. To work hard, to please your employer, to please the Lord. All of you are to adorn the doctrine of God. The Lord did not come and tell you, clean your kitchen. The Lord came and He gave you a new kitchen. And the Lord is telling you, here is how you behave now that you have a new heart. Now that you are my child. You live in accordance with the doctrine that you know. And you adorn that doctrine and you make that doctrine look beautiful. Older men, you adorn the doctrine by your soundness of faith, by your integrity, by your sober-mindedness, and your self-control. Older women, you adorn the doctrine of God by your reverent behavior and your faithful instruction for the younger women and the domestic sphere. Younger women, you adorn the doctrine of God by your domestic faithfulness. Younger men, you adorn the doctrines of God by your self-control and your model of good works. Employees, you adorn the doctrine of God by your godly work ethic. All of you, God is telling you right now, everyone in this room, adorn the doctrines of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you love us enough to encourage us to love you, to show us how to love you. Lord, we pray in this coming week that we would all adorn your doctrine, that we would live in accordance with sound doctrine. In your son's name I pray. Amen.